Hi, homies. Today's episode is starting off a little bit differently. I want to ask you to bear with me for a moment as I would like to thank the incredible humans who have recently supported this show financially by visiting my website, www.eugeniekruger.com, and they have made donations by clicking the donate button to help me pay my editor, my VA, and for my time in creating this content for the homeopathic community to enjoy. So a massive heartfelt thank you goes to the following special souls: Helen Morris, Priya Prakash, Nancy Matter, Lisa Paul, Hannah Vasicek, and I just have to say, she actually donated $100. So Hannah, you have single-handedly paid for the editing and social media content creation for an entire episode all by yourself. So a huge thank you to you. Also, Bridget O'Loughlin, Nicole McConnon, Jenny Griffith, and also Agnieszka. So Helen, Priya, Nancy, Lisa, Hannah, Bridget, Nicole, Jenny, and Agnieszka, I simply couldn't continue with this podcast if it wasn't for your financial support. So thank you with all of my heart. And if anyone else would like to support the show, please consider making a donation by visiting www.eugeniekruger.com and click the donate button right at the top of the website. Every donation above $10 will get a shout out in a future episode. I also want to take a moment to thank everyone who has donated through the Buy Me a Coffee link. I have over the months individually replied to each of your donations to thank you, but I just want to take a moment to thank you on here as well. I really appreciate every single donation that I receive, and I just have this little heart flutter every time I see that somebody is actually financially supporting the show. You know, the messages are really beautiful. I get so many messages saying that the podcast inspired somebody to study homeopathy or to seek out a homeopath or to give them an opportunity to try a different method of prescribing that they haven't before, which has been breakthrough for them. But you know, there's just something about somebody actually putting their words into action and donating to the show to really give that energetic exchange that is sometimes just really needed and really valued. And it's just yucky asking for people for money. I really don't like it at all. I don't know if there is anybody that enjoys asking for money. I certainly don't. So I just want to let you know that when you do donate to the show, it really means the world to me. So I would actually like to stop using the Buy Me a Coffee and the Patreon app and also the Podbean patron platform that I have been using. And the reason for this is that they do charge quite a large percentage of commissions on some of these platforms. So for example, Patreon actually takes about 17% as a commission by the time you've added the two different types of charges that they have. So I don't know if they did a little bit sneakily or what, but there's actually two different charges. So I didn't initially realize actually how much commission they take. So the idea is to finish up with all these other platforms, and then the only place for donations is just straight through my website, because then the only people that we're paying the commission to is through Stripe, who is the payment provider. So that's the idea for now, and we'll get in touch with everyone who has been donating through Patreon and also through the Podbean patron app who have the monthly donations, and we'll just see if you wouldn't mind just changing over. And I just have to give a shout out to our friend Don, who was the one that gave us a suggestion for this. And then also a huge shout out to my husband, Yaku, who immediately implemented Don's suggestion that very same day. I have to say, Yaku is truly the rock in my life. I have so many harebrained ideas on a daily basis, and my very patient husband, it just indulges me in all of them. So thank you, Yaku, for setting up the donation option through our website so quickly. I really appreciate it. So with that, I also just want to thank the people who have been donating through Patreon. So a huge big thank you to Declan Hammond, Melissa Holloway, Denitsa Apolline Matic, Sandy Madden, Jamie Porter, Hilary Dorian, Chrissy, Sue Rigg, Jude Henry, Cherie Hurd, Linda Baker, Leah Bug, Johan Nochwat, Kathleen Schneibly, Rachel Koning, P. Brandt, Kerry Archer, Camilla Scher, and Emily McAteer. And then there's also the following people who have been donating via the Podbean Patreon app, which was actually the first one that I set up when I was still getting a hang of this. And this will also be closing soon due to the extra commissions. But I just want to take a moment to thank each of you so, so much. So Sanya Jankovic, Toyet Nguyen, Sharon Ralston, Emma Galloway, Catherine Fierhays, Dave Tran, Elaine Whalen, Diane Brindley, Jill Clark, Jenny Griffith, Rachel Dickman, and Sue Fitzgibbons. It really is the most heartwarming, soul-filling feeling to know that people around the world are appreciating this podcast enough to actually donate towards it and help me to continue to produce content for you. I hope that during 2024, this podcast will continue to be a source of inspiration and support for you, that it will continue to inspire you to expand your horizons, that it will nudge some of you to start studying homeopathy, and for others, that it will give you the kick that you need to start your practice back up if you haven't been doing consults for a while. My hope is also that this podcast will help you when you're stuck with a client's case, that it will help you to find the right homeopath for you and your family to work with, and most of all, I hope this podcast will continue to bring our amazing homeopathic community closer together, and that we can meet each other in love, acceptance, and with an open mind as we welcome the age of the homeopathic revolution that is happening right now. And now I hope you enjoy the following episode that I recorded with four homeopaths who are very dear to me and who I love and appreciate very much. Danica Apolline Matic, Sarah Valentini, Janie Lavelle, and Reita Pohjoinen. Enjoy the episode.
Here we go.
So we'll just start chatting and we'll hope that lovely Danica can join us soon. But actually, I might introduce all of you now, because now we were just chatting and thought we'll just do it mid-cycle Joe Rogan style. But I've got all of you here. So let's introduce these goddesses, the sisters that I've got here with me across four different time zones, I might add, which was no small feat. So firstly, we have got the beautiful Reita Pohjoinen from Finland. I feel like I need to give you like a round of applause. Say hi, Reita.
Hello, everyone. It's lovely to be here on a beautiful Friday morning. It's 11 o'clock in Helsinki, Finland, and it's very snowy. Nice to see you all.
It's so great. And the lovely Janie Lavelle from Ireland.
Oh, morning. It's 9:13 here in the morning, the goddess time, 9:13. It was really misty this morning, so I felt like all the fairies were around. And I'm just sitting here in my emporium. So good to be here with everybody. And Eugenie, I have to say, those are the most amazing earrings I ever saw.
For anybody, you might have to just go, I feel a little bit ridiculous wearing them. And actually, they've got a little chain down the middle. So what I've decided is I'm going to just make smaller earrings out of them. And because it's a little bit ridiculous. But then we have got the lovely Sarah Valentini from Melbourne.
Hi, everyone. It's actually 8 o'clock in the evening here on a Friday night. And I'd rather than do nothing else than spend time with you all and meet you all properly. I feel like we've all been in the field, but I haven't quite bedded down the connection yet, although I know you're all there.
So. And luckily, just as we started recording, the beautiful Danica Apolline Matic joined us. Woohoo! Welcome!
Thank you so much. I've been so excited about joining all of you wonderful, bright, shining lights in the world. It's been really such a wonderful gathering of incredible, inspiring, bright souls. But yeah, delighted to be here. And I love your earrings, Eugenie. Yeah. I just think they're amazing. And when you said you were going to make them a little bit smaller, there was a small part of me that was like,
I just have to say, I went to the crystal shop today and got my first ever Larimar, and I'm loving that as well. So I'm feeling very flashed. I'm feeling a little bit silly and a little bit fun and a little bit, but I'm blaming it on you witches and goddesses and healers bringing out the worst or maybe the best in me. But let me quickly give our listeners a rundown, because they'll be like, what is happening here? So these beautiful ladies have all been on the podcast. Some of them are more than once. And I have just asked them to come along and let's just have a chat, because we keep on having like lovely conversations via WhatsApp. We'll send each other voicemails, some longer than others. And so I'm not pointing fingers. So I have to do them like while I'm brushing my teeth or taking a big poo. I have another friend that sent me these really long voice messages. So I have to be doing something that I don't have to focus on when I listen. You guys know them. Actually, Janie, you're a culprit too, but I love them. They're so good. Or while you're driving or something, like you see one of those, you're like, okay, I have to not be doing anything else. So I thought, let's get together and just chat about whatever comes up. And my hope is that we'll have these chats regularly and our listeners can come and tune in and you can just like come and hang out with us gals and just see how our minds work, what comes up. And I always learn so much from these four incredible women here. So I'm excited for this learning opportunity. Has anybody got something pressing on their heart that they would start? And I figure we'll start somewhere and we'll just have it flow from there.
Can I begin with the wood dragon?
Yes, please.
I have been so excited about it being with Dragon Year. I don't know how many of you have come across this, and it always feels really important to me to credit sources. And this came to me from Nicholas Haynes, who teaches Five Elements. And last Saturday, we entered into the Chinese New Year, and it's the New Year of the Dragon. And you get 12 signs in the Chinese calendar, and 11 of them are all very earth-based animals, like pig and rabbit and ox and stuff. Whereas dragon is the only one that isn't earthy, and it's connected to spirit. It's about spirit, literally being on the earth. But then you've got the Chinese five elements. And so you get the five elements and you get the 12 star signs. And basically, as they mix, you only get the combination of the same element and the same sign every 60 years. 5 times 12 is 60. Every 60 years, we have wood dragon. We're in wood dragon now. And the last time it was wood dragon, it was in the 60s, which was a time of revolution. But wood dragon energy is all about revolution. And Nicholas Haynes talks about how it was the last time we went from water rabbit, which is what it was last year. The last time we went from water rabbit into wood dragon, the American Revolution happened. And there's this energy of revolution everywhere. And I don't know whether you've started to notice this, but I'm walking around shops and there's more and more like postcards or like book covers, things with the word revolution popping up everywhere. It's almost like the makers knew the trends that were coming and they knew that this would be the word of the year. And we're seeing what's popping up across Europe in terms of the farmers who are just dumping tons of manure in France, especially in front of government buildings, driving the manure into McDonald's and dumping manure in McDonald's and stuff, because there's a rise of people going, hang on, enough's enough. And I just feel so excited about this year. I just feel there's such an amazing energy of people going, okay, let's do some good stuff. So I just wanted to open with that amazing celebration of that amazing energy.
It's definitely, you can feel the transformation. Foot. That's what I'm definitely, and I feel like the Pluto and the age of Aquarius that is upon us now is at the start of this year. I don't know if you guys have experienced that, but I know many of my clients have, and I certainly have. It's like a big shakeup. It's hold on to your seats because something's happening. And yeah, I feel like that kind of, it just goes hand in hand, doesn't it, with the dragon and the dragon energy as well. It's an exciting time to be alive.
Yeah, I kept saying to Rhett that it's the cosmic wood dragon because of that fact that we're going from that Piscean lead energy where, you know, people for many years have been looking for source or God outside of themselves, you know, and almost handing their power over. And the age of Aquarius is about that reclamation of that energy that we are actually indeed source ourselves, that we don't need outside of ourselves and find that inner power or our intuition or that driving force to heal ourselves, that innate ability that we all know, our vital force. And so when you speak into that, Dinitra, about the wood dragon, it's got this real cosmic energy to it. And I think that's part of what we need for this full-on revolution to happen, that it's not like a revolution like it was in the 60s, because we've up-leveled and we've evolved to this point now where our consciousness has expanded so rapidly in the last 10, 15, 20 years. And I think even more so in the last 3 or 4 years, something happened that I don't think they, whoever they are, we're expecting to happen to humanity, because so many people seem to have this sense, even though there's this crazy stuff going on in the world at the moment, there's this huge sense, yeah, that there's an undercurrent of something really awesome coming, happening, that it's really not just in our day-to-day lives, but when you sit in that energy, you feel like it's bigger and it's beyond what we actually know. That's my take on it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I also love the fact that it's the wood dragon. So dragon being the fire and wood feeding to the fire. So immediately when it started shifting, I always work with the dragons. I love them. And when I'm sick, they come and they tell me what to do. And they're like ruthless. If you don't obey them, things don't go good. But if you obey the dragons, you've got the whole universe on your back. That's how I feel. And just like I feel like whatever we initiate this year can go really far, like even the 60 years or whatever. So that's exactly the kind of feeling I felt in the air. Of course, with the Pluto changing, so it's been shifting, and that's been a little bit more heavier on people. But this is like the dragons are just like, it's like this. This is your power. Take it. Reclaim your power. And that's why I feel like it's really power also for women to reclaim their sorcery, their wisdom, for mamas to become powerful and not to believe anything from the outside if it doesn't suit them. So I think it's really nice that five of us are here gathered. I don't know which element we are representing, but let's say we are the five elements here working with the dragon, for example.
Oh,
absolutely beautiful. And like this is all pretty new to me. I'm just opening myself up a little bit more to all of this and learning all about this. And the series that I've been doing with Eileen has certainly opened me up so much and just really made me question anything and everything. And I did actually mention about the dragons and how it's rare to have a dragon spirit, but when you have one, it is really something quite special. I just went to the crystal shop today and I bought a whole bunch of black tourmaline. So one of the episodes is coming out. It'll be before this one by the time it goes out, but he talks about using black tourmaline with your pendulum. So I'm going to try and use all these things that I've been skeptical about for so long. So just going to embrace it all and have a little play with it. And I got my kids each of the pendulum as well. And they had a play with it just earlier today. So yeah, I'm excited for them growing up in this age where anything is possible. And that's, yeah, they just have the opportunity to try new things. And yeah, just hopefully they won't be as skeptical as their mum. Because I have to laugh. When I was in the crystal shop today, I said to the guy that owns it, I'm like one of the most skeptical people ever. I so love all this woo stuff. But I'm still skeptical as well, and which is weird for somebody doing all energy work, really, with homeopathy. But anyway, I think I might have said to one of you, maybe it was you, I chatted to Sarah, that I started out doing shiatsu when I was 18 years old, and then I did Reiki. And then somewhere there in my late 20s, I just lost the stuff. I went a little bit off the track, and it's so nice to be back, just being reintroduced to all these things. I used to be really into astrology as well, so I'm just learning like much younger, late teens, early 20s. And so it's nice to be amongst people that know lots more. And I'm just going to be sitting here quite quiet for the next hour or so, just like I said, absorbing as much information as I possibly can.
You're so a part of this. This is so involving you. There's a real thing for me around. I actually think that skepticism can be a really wonderful thing. I was going to be a pharmacist and I spent years working in pharmacies. And I went to uni to study pharmacy, but didn't make it through. And to me, homeopathy, we're all homeopaths. To me, homeopathy was like a complete load of rubbish. I was like, it's all placebo. It's nonsense. And even after I'd stepped into healing and working spiritually and connecting with Reiki and angels and all sorts of stuff, I still was like, yeah, but homeopathy, that's a load of rubbish. I'm still carrying my pharmacy hat on. And it was only because out of sheer desperation when I tried everything else to help my son's colic when he was a tiny baby, I was like, oh, go on, I'll give him some homeopathy because nothing else is touching it. And it's really hard watching a baby with colic curled up and screaming in agony. And I remember him being 6 weeks old and lying on his back with his legs kicking in the air and giving him this one remedy. And I literally watched him just stop. He just stopped crying and his whole body unfurled. And that was the end of his colic. And I was like, I've just seen something and I know that's not placebo. And that was the moment when I went, oh, there might be something in this. And all these years later, here I am. And I think there's something around, and this is what Wood Dragon's all about. It's about coming back to ourselves, as you've also beautifully said, in terms of listening to what resonates for us, not allowing anybody externally to us to be our guide, but connecting again with resonance. What do we feel in our bodies that is true for us and our loved ones at all times? And that makes us powerful. That makes us sovereign. That gives us agency.
Mm-hmm.
I've just had something we in Afrikaans we say funny, also be yes, that means from the ox to the jacket. But same. We have Homeopathy Awareness Week coming the 10th till the 16th of April. And I just really feel we need to do something big this year. And I know I've said this to a few different people, what should we do? And one of the things I was thinking is us taking photos of ourselves between the 10th and the 16th, placing homeopathic remedies in waterways or in the soil or on the land. Have any of you done any of that? And have you got any remedy suggestions of what we can do?
I feel like it's like prescribing. It's an individual prescription for every place. But maybe there's some universal remedies that we could put in there. I personally think I would love to get in a helicopter and sprinkle Streptilt-Shawl over the war zones at the moment, because just to bring back that, to equalize that polarization with hate and love that war is, that's one remedy. Maybe we can come up with a few more. I know that the matrodonals are beautiful, and there's a lot of divine feminine types of remedies. Maybe there's trauma remedies that we can.
Yeah, maybe just for our listeners, do you ladies want to just go around in a circle and just talk about what remedy suggestions you might have for our listeners who might think this is a good idea and who maybe want to individualize it based on their area, if you want to give us some suggestions?
I could go with Maria Magdalena. Where the last remedy we did in south of France was a water remedy for lakes and for Mother Earth. And of course, for places, it could be for war where women are suffering, because it's a very female remedy. And it's got a lot to do with female trauma, with losing children, with miscarriages, and all the lands are carrying that. And we had a beautiful example of one of our students drilling a well, and the water wasn't coming out. And she put the Maria Magdalena there, and there was such an abundance of water the next day. The men drilling couldn't understand what had happened. So that's a good example of how we can bring the abundance, of course, to women and men and the whole, and the Maria Magdalena wound, to heal that. And that has to do with the dragon, about being what you are, who you are, being able to be who you are as a woman, for example, without being criticized or judged or put all kinds of labels on. So that would be one idea.
Mm-hmm. I want to add to what Reta said. So when we went on that voyage last year to France, to the cave of Maria Magdalena, or Mary Magdalene, as she's called here in Ireland, none of us could foresee what was going to possibly happen in Gaza and Israel. So the more I deepen my journey with that remedy myself, because I do take it frequently and I prescribe it as well in my clinic, it feels like her energy and her frequency and her people rediscovering who she is really popular right now, and has grown in its capacity to reach people from all different places and even non-denominational. I am not religious. Last year, when Elise Timmerman suggested that we went to France to make this remedy, I just immediately did a full body yes. I didn't even think about it. And the tickets were booked and the car was hired and we were gone even before I knew what was happening. And part of that remedy has really helped with my own journey, with my own wound, with my mother. So it's a huge remedy for that mother line as well, if there's any issues in your family, for the mother or the grandmother. And I think it speaks into a bigger kind of energy of Mother Earth as well. And for what's happening is so atrocious. And we often feel so like that there's nothing that we can do. And it's helped me just to sit in that space and give unconditional love to everybody, not just what's happened to all the loss and stuff, but also the perpetrators. And that wound has been festering and building. It's since biblical times. This is a really ancient energy that we're dealing with, and it's as horrific as it is, it's allowing it to finally burst, and hopefully that there's some healing in that in some way. And I think the Maria Magdalena helps with that, and a lot of the other remedies that we use as well. And during lockdown and stuff here in Ireland, one of the things that I did was not be locked down. Just jump in my car and drove to quite a few sacred sites around the country. And I took Lac Lupinum with me. There used to be wolves in Ireland. And I felt like that kind of energy of the wolf needed to be reactivated on this land and in this country, because so many people were just kind of adhering to everything that was being advised. And it was fair enough as that is. I believe in autonomy and people making their own decision. For me personally, it was like, no way, I am not doing any of that. And this kind of energy of the wolf just came over me. And I started to get loads of women who were exactly the same as me, because I spoke into my truth on that, how I felt about it on social media. And it was just suddenly my clinic was full of women who needed laclupinum. So it was like, okay, we have to get it out there into the waterways and onto the land. So that was one that I was working with. And the other one that I was working a lot with was Ruby as well, to really activate that heart center energy and bring love back into the land and the community. And one more was, I had a few, but the other one that's really relevant here in Ireland is carcinosin.
Isn't it everywhere in the world though?
Amazing.
Have you put any out there, Eugenie?
I have not, but I definitely want to over Homeopathy Awareness Week this year. That's why I was thought I'd pick your brains on what remedies you think would be good. I think then it's a spiral, then it's a Apollines. I almost call you then it's a spiral, which is probably appropriate. Then it's a Apollines golden spiral remedy would be a really good one as well. And maybe she can, we've had you on the podcast talking about that, but which remedies do you think would be good?
So first of all, actually oxytocin, I think part of the trauma that we see in the world is the patriarchy or whoever they are. They've done a great job of dividing and conquering. That's their primary way of working. And one of the ways I think we see the leaders playing out the trauma is a lot of the leaders, particularly where I live in the UK, they went to boarding schools. They were taken from their mothers at a very young age. And if they weren't in our generation or the generation above, then definitely their fathers and their grandfathers were. And that's those who lead. So there's been this disconnection from being able to feel that love. And of course, when you're a child, if you are taken from your mother, what will happen? Your heart will close. And so it's literally the breeding of psychopathy to do that. And so there's this real kind of sense for me about we need to bring love in. And oxytocin for me is a really important part of that. I would be spraying oxytocin from the skies everywhere. I see it doing wonderful things, people with addictions, because of course what we need is we just need to feel soothed. And that's what the mother does.
Can we make a combination remedy with Ruby and Maria Magdalena and oxytocin and Golden Spiral and then fundraise to get... Yes, flower of life, and get a helicopter or like one of those little spray planes and just spray it everywhere.
Flower of life is like I've talked about the golden spiral loads, and people I'm sure have heard lots about it. But the flower of life is something we recently proved. And the flower of life, the golden spiral sits within the flower of life, and our very cells vibrate with and contain the geometry of the flower of life. It's 19 intersecting circles that look like a flower. And it's literally what our cells form into. And our whole energy field, when it's whole, is in that formation. And it vibrates with, and I talk about this in other ways, so I'm not going to go through it now, but in essence, it vibrates with the vibration of love and the mathematics of love. And it's a reminder to us of actually, how do we look like? How do we feel? What's our geometry when we are whole? And trauma breaks that wholeness. And it's about saying, let's bring it all back together. And I've made 111 essences, and I've got a sacred geometry series in those essences, and angels and goddesses and masters and the solfeggio series and the eight elements and all sorts, all of the chakras. But I've made a combination called World Peace and Healing that's got all of the 111 in it. And I'm only just sending it out to people, and the feedback's been incredible. Actually, I've had people using it in a synagogue, actually, where people were feeling really hopeless about the situation in the Middle East and came away just going, you know, we just feel so much hope. And there's this piece around light, bringing light. When we think things are most dark, actually, that's when the light appears. Yeah.
I'll never forget a friend of mine, Sandra Walker, said that in the middle of COVID. And I said to her about things just feeling so dark and so heavy. And she said, Eugenie, this or whatever this, there's always the opposite energy there as well, yin and yang. With things being this dark, you have to know that there's always the equal light out there as well. And I reminded myself of that a few times to keep me sane through all the madness that we've just been through. It just feels so necessary. Like, I don't know that we would have been where we are now if it wasn't for COVID, right? Like all these, there's so many people that have woken up, people that I just thought there's no way that they would ever question the status quo, ever. And now I see them posting things on Facebook. And I'm like, who is this person calling out all these organizations and this and that and the next thing? And it's really beautiful to see. So yeah, it's just something that I feel that we just had to go through.
Mm. Oh, definitely. It was like it was the start of the portal of going into the new age, really. It had to happen. And even though there was a lot of negative things, it's almost like you have to go through that darkness, don't you, to get to the light, like we're talking about. And it is perfect within the process. It was like the entry into the age of Aquarius too. It's like almost prepping us. And then everything's going to be thrown up in the air and reformed and land in a different way. And when you were talking before, Eugenie, about you were such a skeptic and all of those things, it's just, and this is the thing, I'm sure you weren't that much of a skeptic, but this is the thing about everything being thrown up and people starting to go, ah, now it's landing here and it looks differently to me now, which is amazing, which is actually super, super exciting. For all of that to be reformed, especially as it really embedded in the age of Pisces.
Mm.
Yeah, before that. And what's something else really exciting, I think, is this, there's so much consciousness and conversation around reclaiming the divine feminine. In the last 5 years in particular, like I've never heard it so much as I have, and from so many different sources. And there's this lovely little old lady called Anne Baring who talks a lot about the divine feminine. She's 94 years old and just did another PhD, and she's written a lot of books. She's amazing. I totally recommend people to look her up. But she was saying in the age of Aries, which was before the age of Pisces, we really lost, like the divine feminine, we knew before that. In the age of Aries, we really lost it. And the age of Pisces, it really got bedded down, and we have to reclaim it. And it's not feminism. The divine feminine is not feminism. It's nothing like that. In fact, we need to re-remember what it is. And I feel like the power of women talking about this, and that it's coming like from so many different angles, is like, oh, we're forming it. And maybe in our lifetime, we won't be part of it, but what we will be is part of the forming. Every part of these stages is totally essential. And the part that we're going through, I feel like, is super, super exciting. Especially here we have five beautiful women here today.
Feminine energy, Sarah, is loving yourself and to thy own self. And I think it's really important for the listeners to understand that if you do decide to offer any remedies to your waterways or your land or your plants, that you always set that really amazing intention of something that is for the highest good of the ways of that might receive them, the energy of the planet, etc., that you're doing it from a heart-centered, rooted place, and that it's just a high vibrational frequency that's going out into the water in the world. And that's a really important piece when you're working with anything, is that your intentions are of a pure motive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Danica actually has a beautiful thing that she says before we do our proving remedies. I don't know if you want to run us through what it is that you say, Danica, but you always have something along those lines of that it's for the highest good, and that I'm just going to stay quiet. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, bless your heart, Eugenie. Thank you. And I know that all of you here, and I know Janie does so much incredible work, and Beta as well, and Sarah, I'm sure, we all have our own kind of way of connecting in. One of the most important things for me is always making sure we connect with the pure unconditional love of source first. And this was something I learned in relation to, if you do shamanic work, for example, or work with other realms, each realm has a condition that can be attached to it. If you do shamanic work, there's an exchange for going into the depths of the journeying. And when we work directly through source first, through the pure unconditional love of source or God or the goddess or the divine mother, whatever we would call that amazing energy from which we all came, when we go there first, there are no conditions. And so it completely clears the way for any other work we do, any of the other realms we connect with, to come through a source space. And so, yeah, so I always set the intention that whatever I do comes First of all, through the pure unconditional love of source in the highest and best ways. I call in the homeopathy greats when we're doing the provings as well to hold the space for us to be able to really experience and receive the highest wisdoms from the remedies that we're proving so that we can really be in service in the world in the highest and best way.
I love that.
You've got your versions. I'd love to hear everyone else's.
Well, while you're on the topic of source, maybe Reza and Janie can tell us a little bit more about their source school that they're starting, because I know Janie has just been to Finland to hang out with Reza. I got a few really awesome photos sent through and I was so jealous that I wasn't there. But we'll all get to meet each other in person in Bali in September. Sarah and I got to meet at the homeopathic conference last year. She had the unfortunate bad luck of sharing a room with me and me snoring her awake a couple of the nights. So this time she's having her own room. So Janie and Reza, do you want to tell us a little bit about your source school and just why you felt it was necessary to create that? Because I haven't had a proper chance to chat with you since you have been to Finland.
Okay, I can start because the intention came to me about, when did it come? It's been coming along the years. I have a homeopathy school in Finland that I've run for 10 years. And I like being a scholar. I'm from a very academic family. But then there is this witch or sorceress inside of me. Like when I became a yoga instructor, I never learned because my teacher said, just be quiet. And the more quiet you are, the more you learn. So that's the same way I was as a mother. I never listened to the outside, but I listened to my source. And along the years, I've been inviting source teachers. And then I was like, it just came to me, sacred sorcery school, but let's just call it sacred source school. And then I reached out to a few people. It didn't feel correct. And then Janie was visiting Finland and then I picked her up from the airport and I said to her, what do you think about sacred sorcery school? And it was an immediate yes. And the idea is like no diplomas, no credentials. Everybody is ready already. And we are remembering all the modalities. It's, of course, we're using homeopathy. It's a master modality, like fully. But then there is shiatsu, there is sacred frequencies, there is tuning in, there is shamanism, there is all the things that we've done all our lives and lives before. So we want to remember them and bring them onto ladies, to empower them and let them use their own remedies and let them use their own medicine and remember the sorceresses they are. Because I also think that this time, especially the year of the dragon, is a time to remember and it's time to reclaim your medicine, not like going out to someone to ask, but actually going deep inside to find out. So that was like the initiative. And of course, then with lovely Janie, with our beautiful Gemini minds, it's been evolving and it's been birthing itself and it still is. And how do you feel, Janie?
I feel both Reza and I are so excited about this journey. And I think part of what we've spoken into for it is that it's not just going to be relearning what's already within you, but it's a deep healing. And you're going to be working closely with both Reza and I to meet your highest, fullest potential in the one-year container that we're going to start in November with. And it's about an amplification of your own power, of your own sovereignty, and of your own sacredness. And because Reza and I have both got homeopathy as our backbone and then all our other modalities over the years of cultivating what we do, both of us have reached a point where we were like, okay, we need to share this wisdom with other women and really help them to reach their fullest potential. So it's about stepping into who you are fully. And Reza and I want to guide you through that from a mystical, sacred, source infused, open-led learning, because each of us show up with our own medicine. And one of the things that we've spoken into already is that so many women are on the periphery. And it's about bringing them right back into their center and really allowing them to stand in their power fully, speak their truth, and do that in a way that is heart-centered and from source. And knowing that they are source, that we don't have to keep like looking outside of ourselves or, oh, hang on, I've got to check in with my guide. You are the guide. And each lesson or container is focused on a particular aspect of ourselves. Of course, we want to start in the root chakra in Muladhara, and that first container and that first weekend is going to be here in Ireland, and that's going to be hugely activating because we're going to do everybody's on that weekend, and it is based in the Reiki system, but it's been modified for sacred source school system. So there's going to be some really incredible awakenings and activations on that weekend. And one of the things that Reta and I have spoken into deeply about this is keeping that energy stabilized. So that's so important, because if we're not stabilized and anchored, then we're just all over the place. And Reta and I know deeply about that because we're both air signs. A lot of our energy is very high. And to anchor ourselves, sometimes it takes a little bit more work for us being air signs, but all that knowledge that both of us have learned, we want to share with other women. And it's going to be unorthodox. It's going to be unruly. It's going to be wild.
I wouldn't expect anything less of the two of you, seriously.
I think Reta, for many years, she has been hard governed by the systems and the institutions, and they all have their place, of course. But we are two women who really struggle with being put into a box or being told actually what to do and how to do things when we've both landed on this earth with this innate wisdom, already knowing. We've never had to think, oh, I can't do that because I need this X, Y, and Z. It's just like, let's do it. We're just going to go for it. And yeah, Source School has birthed itself as well, because both of us have always been seeking that divine kind of partnership for our work. And when we've met each other now, it's been like an ancient soul, you know, has, isn't it, Reta, that we've known each other for lifetime?
Oh.
It's really helped. What we've both had a vision for a long time on our own, and then when we've met, it's gone, okay, two minds is better than one, two hearts is better than one. It's like she's my wing woman, I'm her wing woman, and we've just been able to pull so much more out of the ether to gift what's divinely everybody's birthright on this planet. So it's exciting. Made this amazing. I've been doing collage because I'm really into the design side of thing, and I've been doing the making collage for the artwork for the website, which has been the process of also birthing and stuff. And I said to Reta in Finland the other week, I said, what style will we go for? And she just looked at me and we just both said the same thing at the same time for the style, that we really both love Art Nouveau and French Art Nouveau. And so that's what we're going for with the style for the website. And
there's got to be feathers in there somewhere, surely.
All the feathers, Eugene.
Of spirit ladies, definitely.
And I think we really gift back to women, and Danitsa's really starting to bring this into kind of the psyche of humanity again, as well as Reta's been doing it for years and years. And I think it's hugely part of our medicine as homeopaths, is that when you titrate a remedy, something unbelievable happens. Like, it is a whole nother experience, and that pestle and mortar are like part of our toolkit for sure.
Quick question. You know how you have just triturated those feathers? How, because we've got that emu over here, and actually you've got emu feather as well. Did you end up triturating that one? as well?
No, the parrot.
But can we do like a emu trituration like via Zoom together? It's going to be tricky because there's literally like one or two hours that our time zones line up. But 8 p.m. for poor Sarah. And what's it, 11 for you, Rita? 9 for you, Dinitz. Yeah. What's it, 5 p.m. here for me? But that emu feather just is sitting on my desk and I'm just like either going to turn it into earrings or triturate it.
A little bit of both, yeah, because you only ever need a tiny little bit to triturate.
But that's what I was going to ask. Would I just break a tiny little bit off and then put it in the milk sugar and then triturate it?
Yeah.
Can I just post you some dinitsa and then we all get, and you as well, Sarah, and we all like triturate emu together? Because it blows my mind the fact that's, I don't know what it's called. Is it the spine of the feather or whatever? What's that middle part called?
You just scrape a little bit off the end of that where it actually would delve into the bird's body. You scrape a little bit off that and you trim a little bit off the feather.
Ah, like with the emu feather that it's got the two parts. When I posted you that feather, Janie, you would have been able to. Oh, sorry, I sent it to you later. There's something that fascinates the hell out of me that this is the only feather in the world that's got these two spines that go out. And I just, something means it's a little bit scared of triturating that. I don't know why. But maybe that the split part, or it's something that I think it's going to be pretty amazing. But you ladies are still high on parrot energy after triturating.
Yes, it was quite a trip. And we got Declan Hammond from Ireland to join us.
Oh,
it
was I'm so jealous. I don't even want to hear this.
But because Finland is striking all the time, we had to have him come a little bit earlier, or the parrot wanted him to join, which was, of course, fantastic. And back to the source school, one of the things is really triturations and the source remedies that we've been working along the year. And there's two structures. There's no structures, but there's many structures. But one is the Celtic wheel that we start on Samhain. We start with the new year. And another one is astrology, or actually Gnostic astrosophy, which has many of these remedies. For example, on purpose, we did the parrot because it's about divine partnership. Intentionally, we are using these two maps, at least. I call them the golden compasses. And of course, looking at the ladies who come, their charts, and helping them to be the best versions of themselves, soulfully and so on. And what the parrot, thank you so much for bringing it to Finland. I all the time thought that it was actually from Australia until Declan said, this is South American bird. I was a little bit confused because it was on the opposite side. But then when everything landed, we knew why Declan, with his plant medicine, was there with the parrot, with Arauna, which I always have a difficulty to say. And that was all about speaking your own truth, like Aramakao, reclaiming your own truth.
I always feel so sad because my neighbor has got 14 of them in cages there. She breeds them. And whenever I drive past them, like my heart just breaks. It's just, I feel like going in there and just like opening them all up and then they're all free. But she's got so many cameras and vicious dogs.
But we were actually led to a flower shop that sells parrots, but not real parrots. And the guy told us that you cannot take parrots from the wild. He used to have a bird shop also, of course. He was like a kind of oracle. So all the parrots that are around, they are bred, because if you take one from the wild, they will die. So if that helps you in any way.
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
Yeah, I know. It's not nice.
It's better that she has 14 than one, because they're birds that love to be together in their tribe and stuff. And that really came through in the trituration, that we all started like getting really high. There was a real oxytocin kind of energy coming to the bowl. And by the time we got to C5, it was like this cauldron of love. Everybody was just all soft and we didn't want the thing to end. It was like 2 a.m. We were saying, oh, we should go home. Oh, but let's do some more. And oh,
see, this is the skeptical part of me that's going, whenever you and Rita are together, you're going to be feeling exactly that anyway.
Not with the Corvus Corax. That was pretty dark.
Yeah. The raven was like dark night of the soul for me for about 8 weeks.
Mm. It's one of the things people don't realize, I think, when we're proving remedies or making new remedies, when you go into a proper proving, like sometimes you get that intuitively, you receive the information intuitively. I think that's what happens most of the time. But when you go into proper proving and you're properly experiencing the reasons why someone might need that remedy, sometimes that can be really difficult. There's a lot of sacrifice that goes into the bringing these new remedies in the world. So I just really want to honor everybody that's doing this work, because it's such incredible, deep work in the world, true service.
It really, I honestly cannot imagine the possibility of what your body and mind is going to express when you're working with an energetic substance on the level that we do. And I've done a good few provings now, and the raven has always been a close consort of mine. I've worked with that bird for years and years, and I will know that remedy for the rest of my life. I'll never, ever forget that remedy now. And it was one of the hardest times in my life. And for me to say that is a lot, because I am quite optimistic person, but my God, that remedy put me through it. It really did. And I think from the perspective of the sacred source school, what Rata and I are creating is what we wished someone had created for us, so that we would get that understanding of the light and the dark and everything in between. And I think you've mentioned it really well, because it's about that polarity in the remedies and knowing that every substance has that light and that dark and that good and that bad. And the reason that we do triturations and provings is actually to find out what that substance is going to cure in a sick person. So I know now with Raven that it was just the most despairing, dark energy. Any mother out there who's struggling and just feels like they can't go on, it's like on beyond, yeah, where your life is actually all right, but you just cannot cope at all. Everything is just weighing you down. It's literally every day that I drove from my home to work, I was like, I just want to drive this car off a cliff.
Wow.
It's so heavy going, and I knew I couldn't. It wasn't like I was going to act on that thought, but that's how dark I was. I knew I had to be responsible for my family. I knew I had to keep going for my kids. I knew I had clients to support. And it was so weird, because part of me didn't realize that was the proving.
Is that kind of like an adamas? Sarah was talking about adamas the other day. Would that be similar? Remedy made from diamond?
No, I wouldn't say so. I would say the energy of the corvus, because I didn't have a similar feeling with it, because it's a death remedy. It's looking at your shadows, and it's going, like the shaman goes underworld. It's going underworld as far as you can go. And it depends what your relationship with death is. At the moment I did it, I loved death, because my son went and it was really like close for me. So it was just like a death helper for me. It was like Morgana holding my hand and telling me I'm beautiful and I can do it. So it was a very empowering remedy for me. But I had it like 10 years earlier. So I knew the remedy. I'd been prescribed Corvus Corax for other things. That was a dark space. But it's a power remedy. In the Omega Astrosophy that I do, it's the magician. So when you want things to quickly shift and change, you need to be ready for that. It's like the dragon. It's very similar. But it really does push you and stop you into a dark spot. In that way, gems, yes, because it's a space of hopelessness inside the earth. But this is more like a shamanistic. It's, I would say, Morgana is very close, if you know the mythical, or you go into Hades. It's death itself that you face and look at that. So it is big, it's powerful.
It was that kind of knowing that if I wanted to move through that remedy, because I spoke to my homeopath and she was like, let's antidote it. And I said, no, I have to go through this. I have to go through this. And so I contacted Liz Norman, who's my astrologer.
Oh, the Liz works with Jeremy and Camilla, hey?
Yeah, she's their right-hand woman. And she looked at my chart and she was like, oh, my God, Janie, I can't believe this. You're exactly where you're meant to be. But she said, I'm really sorry to tell you, if you want to get through this, you're going to have to go right to the back of the cave, into the darkest, darkest place in your soul. And if you don't go there, you're not going to find your gold. So I had to do that journey. And as you will know, you beautiful ladies, and for anyone watching us, often when you do a trituration or a proving and you have a deep response like I've had, you get an upgrade afterwards. Mm. And what happened for me, it was like exactly what Rat is saying. There was a part of me that I had to let go of in that proving and the trituration. And when I eventually did come out the other side, I went to Finland and we did the trituration of Heliartis albicilla of the sea eagle. And then that was like pulled me up that vertical axis. So our Shishumna, our rainbow bridge, our spine, and allowed me then to witness the medicine of Corvus Corax from a different altitude.
It's really interesting to see as well how you get that kind of, when you're doing provings or when you're making remedies or when you're triturating, there's a sequence. And I've only just seen that relatively recently, but it's amazing to watch how one remedy follows another. And it's a beautiful thing to see. When I was making petrified sequoia, which is from sequoia trees that were basically petrified by volcanoes 17 to 20 million years ago. So it goes back to before humanity, and it literally presses a reset on trauma, on ancestral trauma, on what we inherit. And it was found by Melissa Asylum to be, when she made an essence of it, to be an ancestral curse breaker. And when I went to get a tiny piece to make the remedy from, and I was in Greece and on Lesbos, and it was a 17-hour round trip for me to be able to get some. And I, over two ferries, and it was just this massive journey driving on the other side of the road for me, because I come from the UK and we drive on the left, and of course on the continent everyone drives on the right. And I had done the whole thing completely fine until the last half an hour of that 17-hour trip. And I missed a turning on the sat-nav to get back to mine where I was staying. And I never think anything's an accident anymore. I think everything's obviously divinely guided. But I had this incredible experience of, as soon as I was redirected by the sat-nav, it redirected me onto what looked like a road. And as soon as I stepped onto it, I realized it wasn't actually a road. It was a dirt track, and it was literally down a mountain. It was like literally half a mile down a mountain. And there was no way I could go backwards at this point. And it was 11 o'clock at night, pitch dark, out of season, nobody around, terrifying. And I just knew that there was only one way, and it was down. And it was half a mile down this mountain in the pitch dark. Luckily, there were bushes that I think held the car, but it was terrifying. And I remember thinking at the time, I actually would have thought I was going to die had I not known that I am still here to do work. And that was the only thing that was keeping me going. I was like, I know this isn't my time to die because I've still got work to do. So it was keeping me going. But I went into a proper aconite state. I was in proper panic. And when I got to the bottom, the weirdest thing happened, where just as I saw the road and in my heart lifted, I was, oh my God, there's the road, the main road. There was a tiny dip where the dirt track met the road, and the nose of the car just went straight into the dip. So I couldn't make it onto the road. And by this point I was broken. I just got out of the car. I wasn't crying, but I was in a state of complete shock. I just was like, I don't know what to do. I couldn't think. I couldn't work out how to call the rental car guy. I was like, oh. And this couple stopped and they were amazing. This guy just was like, do you know the number of the rental car guy? I was like, I don't know anything right now. I don't know. And he found it, phoned the rental car guy, who was amazing. He said, I'll be there in 20 minutes. And then the most amazing series of things happened, where one, out of season, pitch dark, no one's phoned the police. And two police cars drove literally in front of me, and they crossed right in front of me, one going in one direction, one going in the other. Two police cars like this. I was like, wow, that's something. And they both stopped, pulled over, the four police, two police officers in each car got out. There were four police officers and another car stopped. And by the time the rental car guy got there, there were about eight men. And they reversed. The rental car guy got in the car and he just slightly reversed it enough that the other eight men could literally lift the car while the engine was running and lift it onto the road. And there wasn't even literally, I was like, there goes my deposit. And it literally, there was this tiny scratch on the bumper. But what two things emerged from that was really interesting for me, which was, first of all, once I'd calmed down enough that I could say this, I spoke to Hilary Hample, who's in our provings group, who made the suggestion that I do this. And I phoned her up going, is there anything I need to know about this remedy? I thought I was going to die tonight. And she was brilliant. And she was like, no, I think you're going to be all right. I think that's been your journey. But when I realized what that was about for me, was my family came from Serbia. And after the First World War, basically when Yugoslavia was invaded by Austria-Hungary and Germany, and I think it was Romania, but it got invaded on all three sides. And basically it was winter time, but they had to retreat. It was a case of stay and die or retreat. And so basically the Serbs fled, or the Yugoslavs fled, as it was. And it was wintertime, and the only place they could go was over the Black Mountains of Montenegro and the Golgoth Mountains of Albania in the winter. So it was like at the Misty Mountain scene. And everybody knew that at least that half the people would die, but the thinking was half the people will live. And so basically, they all basically came down a mountain thinking they were going to die, and then they were rescued by the Greeks because they then went to Corfu and were refugees in Corfu. So I literally felt like I did a mini reenaction of that trauma that sits in all of the ancestry of Serbian people, of coming down this mountain thinking you're going to die and then being rescued by the Greeks. But then the next day, I was in this kind of massive aconite state. And I happened to have aconite telem, which is another story about how I randomly happened to have it. Didn't touch the sides with my shock reaction. And the next day I was given the guidance. So now get in the car, drive and go find some mastic gum trees. And mastic gum was the next remedy that came out after petrified sequoia that we made improved. And I was like, I can't get in the car. I can't get driving anywhere. But just this little nudge kept saying, no, come on. Get in the car, go, you're going to be fine. And I went and found some mastic gum trees, and I just lay on the ground and I put my feet up against, bare feet up against the bark of a tree. And literally it was like the tree just took all of the anxiety and the terror that I had felt. It literally just went. And one of the things we found with mastic gum was that it's a balm. It repairs everything that needs repairing physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And so where petrified sequoia does this piece around healing trauma going back through time, then you get that and then you repair what's been done. And we've been following this journey of the other remedies to cut that have come since then. And they all follow this incredible sequence. And that's something that I find amazing, that once you're in this journey of working with remedies in this way, they're in charge. We're not in charge. We think we're like, oh, we'll do this and we'll do this. And it's no, we're just channels for what wants to be brought through.
I just have to say how funny it was as well that when I called Danica and said, I want to make a remedy from the music of Coldplay. And she was like, oh my gosh, Eugenie, you won't believe this. I'm just going to make the Flower of Life. And there's one of the Coldplay albums has got the Flower of Life on the album cover. That was quite cool as well. Thank you so much for sharing that, Danica. You shared that story on the podcast, but hearing it the second time, it's just, I'm there with you, like just thinking of everything that you've gone through and just like a mind is completely blown. I just want to ask.
Greece after those two provings. I was obsessed with Greece. I was like, I have to go there. We were looking at booking our holiday there. I started buying Greek olive oil.
There's a couple of things that I want to squeeze in. So Danica, something I wanted to ask you about is we've started having these chats because, you know, as people have heard, there's so much time and effort that go into making these remedies. And we touched on it with a previous episode that I did with you, but I am one of your stockists of Master Gum and Golden Spiral and Petrified Sequoia. So if anybody buys it from me, the royalty of that goes through to you. And so I feel that is something that we need to start doing in homeopathy. And I had a chat with another homeopath the other day and they were like, no, they don't think that's necessary. But I actually think that's just like an old way of thinking. I think that most homeopaths would, if you chat through, it's just the way that we've always done it, is that the remedies that people are putting all this effort to, it goes to the pharmacies and they're the ones that make money from it. And it's great. I'm so grateful for our pharmacies. I would never want to take the money away from them anyway, because we really need them. But I also feel that there needs to be some way of a royalty being built into every time a remedy is sold. Because initially your remedies, I was just going to use them for prescriptions. But then I thought, then it's really hard for me to keep track of how many I've sold. So I've actually put them on the website now so that I can pull a report every month to see how many has been sold. And the other thing is, leaving them just for prescriptions, they weren't used that often. And so now that they're on the website, when people buy them, I can just pull a report at the end of each month and I can send you the royalty percentage of that as a payment every month. So I feel like that's quite a nice, easy way to do it. And I feel like it shouldn't be too hard for the pharmacies to do that. Although there's so many people that create remedies. So I don't like the logistics of all that. I don't really know how that would work, but I do feel it's something that we should consider changing the way that we do things in homeopathy and not just blanketly shutting it down. Just actually consider the possibility that maybe there's a way that we can have the people who created the remedies actually receive royalties from their work. Okay, floor is yours, Danica. What do you think?
Bless your heart. Thank you, Jenny. For me, it comes from a place of we're in the time of the feminine, we're in the rise of the feminine. I was teaching at Southwest Homeopathy Group on Friday, teaching about reawakening the feminine using homeopathy. And one of the things that came from that was, it's okay for us to ask questions about how we've done things and do things. And that's very feminine. It's to explore how we grow. The earth is evolving. We're evolving as a humanity, as a profession. And it's okay to revisit things that we've done since we began and say, actually, does that really align with where we are, where the world is, and how things are moving? And one of the things that I feel very strongly about is it's a very feminine thing to share in the abundance. And the amount of love and time and work and resources that goes into this work is huge. And I joke about how sometimes I think we might be the only profession in the world that doesn't pay its researchers. We're expected to do all this like it's a hobby. And actually, we have lives to pay for. We live in a world that requires paying bills and mortgages or rent or whatever. And there's this piece, but there's this bigger piece for me around, it's just a feminine thing to say, to acknowledge everybody and to say, let's all share the pie. And for me, I'm kind of mindful saying this, but it does feel very kind of masculine to say, you did this and I will take this and I will do all the thing and make money from it. And it's not about the money. This isn't necessarily anything that's going to shift people's lives in a big way. It's more, for me, about the principle of saying and recognizing we all can benefit. Mama Gaia provides for all of us. And there's a piece around sharing in that all together it's around recognizing that we're all part of all that happens. And yeah, that flow is very feminine.
You've just summarized that beautifully. But just before we wrap up, Sarah, I just want to have a chat with you, because me and you have been doing the Master Practitioner course through the Center for Homeopathic Education, CHE, with the incredible Colin Griffith. What's your experience been like so far? And have you learned much, because he's starting off with the chakras and things? How are you finding it?
Oh, he just sings to me like... Henny has done for a while, and I interviewed him for the School of Intuitive Homeopathy a couple of years ago, and I was like total fangirling, kind of blushing, but it's just wonderful the way he articulates. And even sometimes there was just the question and answer, and the way that he answers the questions and articulates the approach, because he's really talking about approach. He's not going materia medica, even though that's part of it. And this really sings to me as well, because he talks about the approach, like how we approach the person that we're sitting with, how we meet them. And that's the essence. I find just learning materia medica quite dry, but actually I love doing triturations, because you're not just getting that remedy into your head, you're experiencing every part of it. And then you know it on all the levels, and you can see it then when you do that. And I feel like he teaches from that place, that deeper place of like, how do I know, get to know this person or know where the energy is? And one thing that he said, which I spoke to him about when I interviewed him, was that I'd heard him say that we don't always have to prescribe for the tissues of the patient that we're sitting, we won't always find the simillimum in the tissues of the patient that we're working with. And that was, that just set off like all of these things. And he just, the way he articulates things is next level, I think. But it was just like, oh my gosh, yes. Like when we prescribe for a past life, we take the case of that, the energy of that past life or that, that ancestor. And I work like that so much. And so it's like the, everything kind of clicks in when he speaks about those things. But he's mentioned that a number of times in the course too, which I was just like, because when I said it to him in the interview, I said, I pulled out the line and I read it to him and he was like, oh, did I say that? I was like, yes, you totally said that. And so he's really expanding on that in the masterclass too, like really going into that. And he's moving through chakra by chakra and bringing the physiology in as well. There's a lot there. And to be honest, it was 4 a.m. for me when I got up for that lecture. I could do that 3 hours again if I can find the time, but not sure I can.
Ladies, it's been so incredible speaking with all of you. I really hope that we get to have many more of these. And when I had the brainchild to do this, I was envisioning us having a few chats and maybe hopefully doing a spin-off show from this. And we can have like our own podcast channel where we can put all these chats and whoever wants to come listen in on our woo-woo can come and join us. But I just want to say thanks. Thank you so much to each of you. I really appreciate it. And I can't wait to give you all really huge big cuddles in Bali.
Thank you so much. It's been amazing hanging out with you all. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Ginny.
Thank you. Nice. Thank you for watching as well, everyone out there. Lots of love from Ireland.